record, hold. All right, we're good to go. All right, so let's pray and we will get rolling. Father God, Lord, I love you. Thank you for the day, Lord. I thank you for just a beautiful morning, Lord, just being able to enjoy what you've created, Lord. Just thank you for your grace and your mercy. And it's new every day, Lord. It doesn't matter what we did yesterday or the struggles that we do or don't have, Lord, but you know your grace is just new every day. So, Lord, I just thank you for that. Thank you for your Son and just giving us purpose to get up and come and just do. Lord, I thank you for the Passpoint class and just the folks who are here week in and week out and those who are in the ministry, Lord, and just the families represented, Lord. It's just an awesome group of people. It's just family to us. Lord, I pray you just set aside some time this morning, Lord. Just use me. Set me out of the way as we just look into finishing up Genesis chapter 24 and just some aspects of marriage, Lord. And so I just pray that you would just speak to us, Lord. I pray for those who are at New Life, just preaching the word, Lord. I pray for Pastor Brian. He's on vacation, that you would just give him a time of rest with his family. Lord, I pray for Randy. He's going to preach this morning. And Lord, we pray for Lauren as she's wrapping up her final week in India, Lord, that she would just finish strong, Lord. Just continue to run the race, Lord. I pray that she would be refreshed when she gets back, Lord. I'm excited to hear a report of just what you're doing in India and what you're doing in her life, Lord. So, Lord, I pray you just bless today, Lord. Just bless the fathers here as you just set aside a time in America, Lord, just for Father's Day, that we would just reflect on our Heavenly Father and just the relationship that we have with Him. So, Lord, I pray you just use us today in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so Genesis chapter 24. And so we started last week. And I did not get through the whole chapter because we didn't have a whole lot of time. So I'm going to roll through the rest of the chapter. I'll review a little bit, but just as way of review, remember, you've got Abraham who's just kind of had his life struggles of not doing the right thing all the time. And so you've got him learning how to figure things out. Then Isaac's born, and I think he finally got it somewhat figured out. And not that you ever get life figured out. If you do, let me know because I need some tips. But I think the four-wheel drive Crocs are right there on top of the list, but he finally kind of gets it right when he goes to offer Isaac. When God calls him and he's willing, he shows God that he's willing to do anything that it takes, Lord. And I think there's times in our life where we want to say, I'll do anything you want me to do, God, but when it comes down to it, we won't, and that's our failure. And then we pick ourselves back up and dust off and we try again. So I think he's finally got it figured out. So then you roll into Genesis chapter 24. And without spending a whole lot of time as review, I'm just going to kind of read through where we were at. So I had 12 questions to ponder on before marriage, because it's kind of like a marriage type chapter. And you might be like, well, I'm already married, so I'm checking out. Well, that's, you can do that if you want to. Easy on the wall there, kid. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. That just totally. Okay. You might already be married, and you're thinking, "Well, I don't need this." Well, you may have kids someday that are going to need to be married, or you may have grandkids, or whatever it is. You know, I look at this as I go through it, and I'm not thinking so much as I'm looking for a new wife. Because I've already got a pretty good one. But I think that I've got some kids that before too long, I'm going to need to start at least considering this. So there's always something you can take from it, right? And if not, it's just a kind of interesting story. So let's get rolling as we go. So Genesis chapter 24. In verse 1, it says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age." So we already knew that. He's an old dude. "And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had," so this guy basically ran everything, "put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh." And this guy's probably thinking, for what? Right? So anyway, we'll get there. "And I will make thee swear by the Lord, God of heaven, and the Lord of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of Canaanites, among whom I dwell." Remember, God called him out. He does not live with his brethren anymore. Remember way back in like Genesis chapter 12, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house to a land that I'll show thee." Right? God calls him out and takes him to what will eventually be the promised land, right? The land that God has promised to give him. So that's kind of what's going on. So the first thing that you have to question before marriage is, do you know what you're looking for? Right? And so this is just review. I got through like four or five of them last week. I don't know. Four of them, so we've got to get going. So do you know what you're looking for? And if wealth, fame, money, good looks, I mean, those are good things, but I don't know that those should be the things that you're looking for when you're thinking about marriage, right? So we kind of talked about that last week, so I'm going to keep rolling. It needs to be more about, are they godly? Are they like you, right? 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18, just write that down as a reference. That's, you know, the passage, be not unequally yoked, right? Be looking for somebody who's on the fast track with you, right, to serving God, because you're not likely going to be doing a whole lot of serving God if your spouse is not. It's just, it doesn't work out that way very good, right? Another reference there, Proverbs 22, 24. Read that in your spare time. We're going to keep rolling. All right, so it says, but thou go into my country, verse 4, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac, right? Verse 5, and the servant said in him, because the servant, he's thinking logically, not just so much like full of faith, but he's logic, right? Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land, right? Because, you know, it's pretty likely that I'm just going to roll in and say, hey, I want you to come marry this guy that you've never seen before, and by the way, you've got to leave your family to do it. So he's just thinking, maybe she's not going to be willing to do this. So the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Mustn't I needs bring my son again into the land which thou camest? So would it maybe be better just to take Isaac to her? And Abraham's like, that's not going to happen, right? That's not going to happen. And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman be not willing, so Abraham is like, well, if she's really not willing to come, turn the page, follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this at my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under his thigh, because that's what you do when you're, you know, promising to somebody, of Abraham his master, and swear to him concerning the matter. I think this is where pinky promises came in, because people were like, the thigh thing's getting kind of weird, so we'll just... Yeah, so... I mean, I don't really think I'm going to... Hey, Brady, I need you to come put your hand under my thigh so we can make it... We're not going to... We're good, but we're not that good. So we're not there yet. So here's the second one. Do you trust that God's in control, right? You're thinking about marriage, right? And you're wanting to just get out there and get it figured out, right? But do you trust that God's in control? The servant's like, well, what if she's not willing to, you know, be full of faith like we are and just come and meet the guy? And so do you trust that God's in control? Thinking about, you know, meeting the right person, right? Because you just want to make things happen. Reference there, Proverbs 3:5. All right, so moving on, right? Do you trust that God's in control? Verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels, right, because he's a wise man, because, you know, it's probably going to take lots of camels to carry all this woman's stuff. That's what I'm thinking. He's a wise man, right? So he's like, I'm not making this trip twice. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia into the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he's thinking, how in the world is this going to work out? And he said, O God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down my pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give my camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So this guy's like, okay, so I'm here. How do I know which woman to pick? Because there's lots of them here, right? And so she's not just looking for the best looking one. Right? He's not looking for, I don't know what he's looking for. So he prays specifically, right? God, you sent me on this mission. You need to figure it. So here, I'm going to pray specifically. So here's the third thing. Are you praying about it, right? You're thinking about marriage, right? You're like, okay, I'm already married. Are you praying about your kid's future spouse? You're like, I don't even have kids yet. Well, now's a good time to start praying. Get a few extra days in, right? Are you praying about it? This guy's like, I don't really know how this is going to work out. But God, you do. So I'm just going to pray specific. He's like throwing a Gideon prayer out there, right? Here's the fleece, let it be wet, but the grass be dry, and, you know, flipping it back and forth. So he's very specific about the way he prays, and you should be the same way, whether it be about marriage or anything else in your life. Be specific about what you're praying for, because if you pray specific, God will answer. Right? When you're very vague, you could, well, I think that's what God meant, right? I think God told us to go to the beach this summer, babe. Right? So I don't know. Yeah. So be specific about what you're praying about. Okay, so that was the third one. Verse 15. I'm trying to get through what we got through so we can get into some new stuff. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, so he hadn't even got the prayer out yet, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born unto Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. So that's a really long way of saying they're kin to each other. It's like my cousin's third. I don't know. Anyway, Abraham's brother with her pitcher upon her shoulder, and the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. So here's the fourth thing. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Are you staying pure? Right. You're praying about marriage. You're thinking about, are you staying pure before marriage, right? Then you might be like, well, how in the world does he know that she's a virgin? Well, I think it's a cultural thing. Generally, it's something to do with their dress, their earrings, that's just the way it works in some other cultures. It's kind of hard to tell in America, I'm just going to say. You would never know, right? Because we just do whatever we want to do. But in other cultures, I've been to India a little bit, and the way that they dress as younger kids or before they're married, so I can understand how he would know that this woman is a virgin. Okay, so are you staying pure? Because if you're not staying pure, that's not the kind of woman that I'm praying for my son to go meet. If some young girl that's not pure, let's just throw it like that. So are you staying pure? Okay, so that's where you're at. So here's the fifth one, and we'll get into it. Are you serving now, right? You're thinking about marriage. Are you serving now? Verse 17. And the servant ran to meet her, right? Because he'd been praying, and all of a sudden, here she is. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she could have been like, no, I'm busy. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand, and she gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again into the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. Right? So he goes to the woman. He prayed a very specific prayer. God, I don't really know what I'm looking for, other than it's a woman and she's supposed to be kin to Abraham. Well, that could be a whole lot of these people, right? So this is what I'm looking for. He prays specific and God answers a specific prayer, right? This is what I'm looking for. Hey, can you get me some water? Yeah, I'll get you some water. Hey, you want some water for your camels too? Right? Yeah, that's weird because that's exactly what I prayed for. Maybe God's answering my prayer. You know, but he's patient about what he's doing, right? So he's going through it. So here's the next thing. I'm not going to send, and I'm using the reference of me because I'm thinking of my kids getting married soon. Now, you might not be married, and you're like, well, I'm thinking about it in a completely different mindset. That's great. I'm not thinking that I'm telling Brian or Brenton or Hallie someday, which I'm not even thinking about Hallie. I'm not going to think of Brian or Brenton someday, hey, you need to be going looking for a girl who's hanging out at the pool or who's hanging out at the mall or who's doing. You need to be going and looking for a girl who's already doing the work of God. She's already busy about the things she's supposed to be busy about. Go find a girl in the ministry. Go find a girl at church. And I'm not saying it's got to be. Find somebody who's busy about God's work. This woman is busy about doing what she's supposed to be doing. Now, it might be drawing water, but maybe she's drawing water for Jesus. I don't know. But, you know, she's busy about what she is supposed to be doing. He doesn't find her hanging out at the local tavern or wherever else they got going on in Abraham's day. You know, she's busy about what she's supposed to be doing. And that's what I'm getting at when I say, are you serving now? Right? Because if you're out looking for a husband, if you're out looking for a wife, the best place to find them contrary to our American belief, is not at the bar or at the pool. Or it's get busy about God's work and he'll bring somebody to you, right? Be doing what you're supposed to be doing and God will bring somebody along your path, right? That's how that works. So are you serving now? That's the question. Okay, so here's the next one. Verse 21. Are you waiting on the Lord? Because a lot of times we like to get a little busy. We like to get a little cart ahead of the horse action, right? Verse 21. And the man wondering at her held his peace. He could have been like, this is her. She did exactly what I prayed for. Get on the camel. We got to go. Right? I'm in a hurry. I'm ready to get home. He's patient. He says, and the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Right? He doesn't get the cart ahead of the horse. He's not like, a prayer answered, let's go. Right? No, instead he's like, let's see if this thing completely plays out. Because only a few of the prayers have been answered so far. Well, she got some water for me and for my camels. He doesn't have a clue whether this woman's kin to him or not, right? You know, until he asks her. And she says, this is what, he doesn't know that this is all going to play out. He doesn't know that she's even willing to go. She might be like, heck no. Bring the guy to me. Let's see what he looks like before I agree to, right? No, that's how we would do it today. Are you waiting on the Lord? He's very patient. Hebrews 10:36. Somebody flip over and read that. I don't have it written down. I don't have my computer with me. So, and then somebody get James 5:7, right? Are you waiting on the Lord? Because he's like, let's wait and make sure that the Lord is all about this. Because sometimes the adversary likes to get in the middle of what's going on. He could have been like, well, I'm going to find a girl who's willing to draw a little bit of water too, but it's not the right one. He's waiting to make sure this is God's thing. Hebrews 10:36. Somebody read that. Anybody? No, no.
You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise.
You have need of patience. It's not like it might be a good thing to have some patience. You got need of them things, right? That verse is for me, because I like to be in a hurry about everything I do. I have need of patience, right? Read the one in James, Abby.
What was it?
I don't remember. James 5:7.
Okay. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain.
Be patient on the Lord, right? Just because you prayed something, it doesn't always work out just like it did in the story. Just because you prayed something doesn't mean like tomorrow God's going to answer it. Sometimes you got to do a little bit of waiting. Sometimes a little bit of patience, right? Sometimes you got to wait on it a little bit. I'm not the most patient person in the world. Ask my wife. I put grass seed down and I want it to be up tomorrow, right? I put it down, it ought to be up, right? Or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. I like to see things happen right now. You got to be patient, right? Are you waiting on the Lord? Right? Are you waiting on the Lord? Moving on, verse 22. Here's the number 7. Are you willing to go through the proper people? Right? Are you willing to go through the proper people? Verse 22. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half a shekel weight and 2 bracelets for her hands, 10 shekels of weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. Where are we going to? Yeah. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, and the Lord had led me to the house of my master's brethren, and the damsel ran and told her, told them of her mother's house these things, right? So the guy's like, okay, she did all the things I asked for. Is she who I'm looking for? Oh, well, look, she just happens to be exactly who I'm looking for. She's kin to Abraham. This is what I came for. Things are working out, right? Things are working out. But are you willing to go through the proper people? Just because you found a woman who's willing to marry you doesn't mean that's all working out. Or just because you find a guy that's willing to marry you doesn't mean it's all working out. If some young gentleman decides one day that he's just going to marry my daughter and she thinks it's a great idea too, I have a feeling that I'm going to have a say in that, right? So are you willing to go through the proper people? Are you willing to work it all out? Oh, no. So that's, are you willing to go through the proper people? He's like, okay, you are who I'm looking for. He doesn't say jump on the horse or jump on the camel and let's go. He says, okay, let's go talk to your family, see what they've got to say about all this, right? Are you willing to go through the proper people? Number eight, are you staying on mission? Now, this is huge. This is really big because generally, you find yourself busy about God's work, and you stay that way until you find Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. And then all of a sudden, you're busy about their mission and not God's mission, right? And so this is big, right? Are you staying on mission? 29. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban, and Laban ran out to meet the man under the well. You ever notice these guys do a lot of running? I'm going to run over here. I'm going to run over there. What are you in such a hurry for? No, I'm not. What are you running from? What are you running? Unless there's a bear or a snake, I'm not running.
I said, what's that guy running from? And she said, diabetes.
There was a kid running. There's
your so, and Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban, and Laban ran out to meet the man under the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, this man came unto me, and he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house, and the room, and room for the camels. And it says, and the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender to his camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there, where am I going to? One more. Verse 33. And there was set meat before them to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. So he rolls in and he's like, well, what are you here for? Well, let's have a meal. Let's do all this. And he's like, before you guys feed me and let me stay here and everything else, let me let you know what I'm here for first, because I don't want you to be like, well, he's just taking our food, but I want nothing. I'm going to explain this, right? Don't get the cart ahead of the horse. Are you staying on mission? This guy could have been like, God has blessed this thing from the beginning. She came, she drew water for me, she drew water for my camels. She's kin to Abraham. Here I am. Now she brought me to the house. They're ready to let me move in, right? This is all working out great. But before he even takes food, before he lets anybody wash his feet or anything else, right? He's like, let me explain what I'm here for first. Let me keep on what I'm here for, right? Let me stay on the mission, right? Sometimes we like to, well, he's cute, he's got money, everybody likes him. But this is of God, right? It's got to be, right? Or he goes to church, right? He's got to be the right one. No. Are you staying? Don't get so wrapped up in the person that you forget about God. You forget about what God told you to do, right? And that's the biggest thing that I'm trying to get through to my kids, or really want to get through to my boys, is just because you find a cute girl who's willing to say that you're cute and that you're all that, you better make sure you keep with what God is telling you to do, because she needs to be interested in that, not how big your muscles are or how cute you are or anything else, right? She needs to be interested in how you love God. Because if that's not what she's interested in, you're all messed up, right? Are you staying on mission? Because that's what happens. We're on mission. We're doing what God told us to do. Everything's rolling out good. But then Mr. Right comes rolling in, or Mrs. Right comes rolling in. All of a sudden, you done forgot about what God told you to do. I'm like, well, I'm just going to do what he's doing. Well, I'm just going to do what she's doing. Next thing you know, neither one of you doing anything you're supposed to be doing. Are you staying on mission? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Somebody read that. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I should have gave you the reference before I was ready for you to read it, right? Sorry. I usually have it on the computer, but I didn't this time.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
That's the kind of person that I want my boys looking for. Somebody who is steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, right? I'm not really that concerned about how pretty she is. That you might be, Brian, Brenton. I'm more concerned about how does she love God and how is she going to be as a wife 30 years down the road, 50 years down the road, right? That's what you need to be looking for, right? When we replace premarital counseling with marriage planning, we've replaced God with the world. That's what happens. We get so caught up in, well, this is the right one. This is who I'm looking for. Everything's just working out great. This is of God. I met him at church. He's got to be godly, right? When you start replacing the things that you should be doing, premarital counseling, figuring out, you find out a lot in premarital counseling, right? Well, I'm supposed to cook for him? I'm supposed to actually pick up my own stuff? Wait a minute. That's not what I signed up for. When you replace premarital counseling with marriage planning, because everybody's excited about the wedding, right? Right? Everybody's excited about, I can't wait for this big, great wedding. And, you know, and well, guess what? There's a whole lot of days that happen after the wedding. That's what you need to be worried about. I mean, it's all great. Big weddings are awesome, you know, but when we replace premarital counseling with wedding planning, we've replaced God with the world, right? And that's just shooting it like it is, right? Are you staying on mission? Because just because you started on the mission doesn't mean you're staying on mission, right? Are you keeping the main thing the main thing? Are you staying on mission? All right, so verse 34. So here's a big long section about everything we've already read, so I'm just going to read through it. Number 9, are you transparent on what you're doing, right? Because the guy could have been like, I'm here and God worked this out, so you just need to trust me, right? Because it's of God, right? Sometimes we like to say, that's always the right answer, right? Well, why are you doing that? Well, because God said so. Well, no, explain to me why you're doing that, right? It's like asking the kids, what'd you learn about today? Jesus. Okay. Right? What did you learn about today, right? So he goes through the whole deal. So I'm just going to read through it because it's everything we just read, but we're going to go through it. Verse 34. And he said, so he's like, speak on. So here, what are you here for? Because I'm ready to eat. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. He got lots of stuff. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son unto my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he had. So guess what? His son's going to be rich too. He's trying to sweeten the deal. She's going to a good place. And my master made me swear, saying, now he didn't talk about, he made me put my hand on his thigh. No, he just said he made me swear. And my master, I done lost my spot. And made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughter of the Canaanites in whom the land I dwell, but thou shalt go into my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And he said, and I said unto my master, and he's like, I know, it was a crazy idea, so I tried to talk him out of it, right? And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel before thee and prosper thy way, and I shall take a wife for my son and of my kindred and my father's house. Then shall I be clear from this oath when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way, which way I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink, and she shall say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels, let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out of my master's son, for my master's son. And behold, I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down into the well and drew water, and I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. So the whole thing, right? And she said, and she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made her camels to drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring on her face and the bracelets on her hand, and I bowed down my head and worshiped God, or worshiped the Lord. And bless the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And if now you would deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn the right hand to the left. He's like, okay, this is how we got here. Right? Because you hadn't heard the story yet, so this is how we got here. Same thing, right? We've all heard the story. So, are you being transparent in what you're doing? Right? He could have been like, I'm here to pick a woman for Isaac, and this is the woman I picked. No, he's completely transparent. He completely lays out what he's doing. If you're thinking about getting married, if you're thinking about your kids getting married, are you transparent in what you're doing, right? You need to be just completely laid out there. What are your intentions with my son or daughter? Are you looking for somebody to marry? Are you looking for somebody to mess around with? Are you looking for somebody to fill a void? Or are you looking for somebody to yoke up with and get the mission of God done with? Are you transparent in what you're doing? My boys need to be completely transparent when they meet a young lady that I'm looking for somebody, if this is what it ends up being, I'm looking for somebody to minister with for the rest of my life. Are you transparent in what you're doing? You got to be transparent. This guy's complete. He lays it out there. Before we do anything else, before we go any farther, this is how I got here. I'm not leaving anything out. We read it all again. Not leaving anything out. This is what we're doing. This is why I'm here, right? This is what's going on. Are you transparent in what you're doing? Are you being blameless, right? He could have been like, well, I'm just here and this is how it's working out. Are you being blameless? Are you transparent in what you're doing? All right, moving on. Number 10, we're almost there. Are you prepared to provide, right? And this is kind of for the guys, but it's also for the ladies as well. You got to be ready to provide for a family. Now, it's not just you. It's not just you anymore. You got to provide, right? Verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel, right, so brother and dad, answered and said, the thing proceeds from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Like, sounds like God's all about it, right? Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, and the Lord, as the Lord had spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard the words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah, and also to her brother and to her mother, precious things. Right. Moral of the story is, when you get married, it costs a little bit, right? It's not just you anymore. It's not just you, right? And the things that you like. Now it's her and the things that she likes. And then it turns into the things the kids like. And then it really has nothing to do with what you like anymore, right? Are you prepared to provide? That's how it works out. You know, praise the Lord, that's not what marriage is about. Praise the Lord, that's not what about raising a family is about. I would much rather, believe it or not, go buy something for my wife or for my kids than I would for me. Now, if it means I get a new pair of shoes while we're out, well, that's good too, right? See if I can't find me some four-wheel drive Crocs tonight, right? Or whatever, but are you prepared to provide, right? And maybe that just means, are you ready to put food on the table or whatever it is, but it costs a little bit, right? Are you prepared for that? Ask my boys, is that what you're ready for? Because right now, I don't think you're prepared for that. You know, are you ready for that? Because that's part of it. That's something you need to ponder on before you get married. Are you prepared for what comes with that? Because you have to. You know, as soon as you get married, all of a sudden the stipulations change for how you go about what you're doing, right? Now all of a sudden, he who doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel, right? But you don't provide for yourself, God's like, hey, you're dumb, right? Feed yourself. But if you don't provide for your family, now all of a sudden, you got all kinds of problems, right? Are you prepared to provide? 1 Timothy 5:8. Somebody want to get that real quick? I didn't even realize I had a reference. Sorry. Are you prepared to provide? I think I might even be what that verse says. Huh? I think it is the infidel verse. Sorry, what is it? Somebody read it. Okay.
But if it needs to provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith.
Right. If you're not taking care of what you're supposed to be doing, all of a sudden you've got new responsibilities, right? That's how it works. Okay, moving on. All right, I got to hurry. We're almost there. Number 11, are you procrastinating? Verse 54. And they did eat and drink, finally got to the meal. Man, you guys got to eat sooner. he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, and they rose in the morning and said, send me away to my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us for a few days. Now they're trying to throw a little monkey wrench in the plan. Well, let her stay here for a while, at the least 10, and after that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And he said, we'll call the damsel and inquire of her mouth. Well, we'll see if she really wants to go or not. Maybe you should have asked her that in the first place, but I'm just, you know, times are different. But, verse 58, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. I heard he's got lots of stuff, right? Because that's what everyone was looking for. No. I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, the sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art her sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. That's a lot of kids. And let thy seed possess the gate of those things which hast them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, right? Good thing they took 10 of them. And followed the man and his servant, took Rebekah, and they went his way, right? Are you procrastinating? If you're in some long engagement, or if you're planning some long engagement, or if you get to the point, what are you doing for? If you're going to get married, get married. And if you're not, don't. This whole long, stretched out dating, making sure he's the right one, is he serving God? Is she serving God? Are you both on the same mission? Then just do it. You know, long engagements are really good for allowing sin to enter in. Just call it what it is. Right? Are you procrastinating? Get to the point. Get to the point. Proverbs 6:6. Somebody read that real quick. You got to get to the point, because if you're drawing this whole thing out, it doesn't do any good. Proverbs 6:6. That's the last one I got. So we're almost done.
Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise.
Right. Don't procrastinate. Get things done. Right. The last thing I want is my boys to. Well, I'm just going to date for a while. Dating is not a biblical concept. It's an American concept. It's a today's society concept. If you're not looking for somebody to yoke up with for the rest of your life, then what are you doing? You know, just serve God for now, and then whenever you decide you are ready to get married, then find a girl. But there's the whole dating thing is just, it's just messed up, right? Are you procrastinating? All right, so last one. After everything we looked at, number 12, are you really ready for marriage? That's the question to ask yourself. Are you really ready for marriage? Let me read the rest of it. 62. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahori, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, because I'm sure he wasn't really just making sure there wasn't anybody coming. He'd been waiting for this for who knows how long. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. The camels are coming. The camels are coming. He's really excited, right? Behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? At least Isaac's walking, he's not running. And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. So at least he doesn't like rewrite the whole thing. We don't have to read it again, right? This is how it went down. Everything's good, right? And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. I'm sure you know what's going on there. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death, right? So they were practicing being married, right? That's what's going on there, right? So they's being married. I think that's what Tony Godfrey calls it. They's being married, right?
Knowing each other.
They were knowing each other, right? So after everything we've looked at, all these questions, right? If you're thinking about getting married, or if you're thinking about preparing your kids to get married, after all these things, you're going down through them, you're reading them, you find out what marriage is really like, and that's not what it's all really like. But all of a sudden, it's not just you anymore. There's two of you, and it's his needs first, or it's her needs first, or it's the kids' needs first, right? And after all that, is that really what you signed up for? Is that really what you're looking for? Because that's what you're going to get. That's what marriage is. Because that's why people get divorced, right? What's the thing they call it? Irreconcilable differences. Well, you was different to start with, right? That didn't change. You just decided you didn't care about them anymore. You wanted to. So you need to think about those things first, right? That's the last thing you need to ask yourself. Are you really ready for marriage? Because if you're not, don't do it, right? Because if you're not now, you're not going to be 10 years from now. believe it or not, you're not going to change him. You're not going to, like, get him and mold him into the perfect thing. You're not going to mold her into the perfect thing. God's going to mold them into whatever he wants to mold them into, right? And that's how that thing works out. So are you really ready for marriage? Because if you're not, don't do it. If you're not, stay single and just serve God that way. But if you are, then stop procrastinating and be prepared and do all those things, right? So that's how it all works out. All right, another chapter down, Genesis chapter 24. Let's pray, and we will get out of here. I think I was even on time, as long as I don't pray for a long time. Father God, I love you, Lord. I thank you for the day. I thank you for just your word, Lord. I thank you for just today being Father's Day, Lord. I just pray that you just bless the fathers. Give them a good day with their kids, Lord. I pray that we don't neglect our Heavenly Father, Lord, because that's what today's really about. So I just pray that whether we do or don't have a good relationship with our Father, earthly, Lord, we can have a great relationship with our Heavenly Father. So I pray you just bless today. Just bless your word, Lord. Just continue to work in and through us, Lord, that we would just be willing to go and do whatever you've called us to do, Lord. Just use us this week as lights in a dark world, Lord, and just bring us back next week. Just ready to worship you, if not before, then, Lord. So I just love you and thank you. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. All right, guys.
So in that time, is that